Well, sure, it's great to be here this morning and seeing all your smiling faces. As was said earlier, my name is Matt Kinnar. My wife, Ellie, is somewhere. Where'd she go? She's back there with our daughter, Adele, and our son, Micah, is in the nursery. He's 3 years old, and we're so glad that we can be here with you this morning, and we are your missionaries to Nicaragua. Nicaragua is in Central America, in case you were wondering, and they speak Spanish there. Normally when I preach, I have some chickens come wandering in and they start squawking behind me. I don't think we'll have that problem this morning, will we? Do we have any chickens going to come in here? Or sometimes there's dogs that come in and start fighting in the service, but I don't think we'll have that problem this morning, will we? Well, I'm glad to be here this morning. I believe I called your pastor back in February and scheduled this appointment. And when I called him, I think he said it was snowing or something like that. A lot of snow was on the ground, and I was sitting at my house, 95 degrees, looking at the mangoes fall on the ground outside. And I can imagine, I know how it is being here in the winter, very cold. But we're down in Nicaragua, it's really hot, 9,500 degrees all year round. High humidity, but you get used to it after a while, you really do. But we're glad that we are your missionaries in Nicaragua. If you have your Bible this morning, we'll be in John chapter 8. And this evening, if you will come back, we'll share missionary stories, different things that have happened to us on the field. We'll tell you more about Nicaragua in depth. But from this time, we're going to focus on God's Word. In John chapter 8. This morning we are going to be talking about Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And I'm sure through the course of history this sermon has been preached many times, many different times. And to us as Gentiles, we say we need to take the gospel light around the world, and that is 100% true. That is what we need to do, is carry that gospel light of Jesus Christ around the world. But I want to look at something a little bit different here. I want to look at who was Jesus Christ talking to and what did it mean to the Jew. You see, Jesus Christ was here speaking, and his audience, they were not Gentiles, meaning non-Jews. He was speaking to the Jews, and to the Jews it meant something entirely different. And we're going to study that this morning and apply that to our lives. In John chapter 8, verse 1, I just want to read something briefly here. John chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. Remember that. He was in the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Now let's jump over here to verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Let's pray. Lord, we're so very thankful that you have given us this light of life, which can shine in our hearts. We're thankful for Jesus Christ and the blood which he shed so that we can have eternal life. I pray that we will take the truths from this message this morning, apply them in our lives, give us strength where we need it, strengthen those that are weak among us, and we just pray that it will be our desire to serve you from this moment on. If there's any that need to receive you as Savior, I pray that they'll receive you this morning. We ask it in your name. Amen. So what's happening here? We see that Jesus is in the temple declaring, I am the light of the world. First, we see that Jesus is in the temple, and right before this happened, we probably know the story. The woman that was taken in fornication, adultery, she was found with another man. The Pharisees and the scribes brought her into Jesus and threw her at Jesus' feet, and they said, what should we do with her, Lord? What should we do with this woman? Now, this was a trap on part of the Pharisees and scribes. The Roman law did not permit Jews to carry out execution. That was illegal. So if Jesus Christ said she needs to be executed for her crime, they would say, Jesus is going against the Roman law. Throw him in prison. And according to the law of Moses, which the Jews followed, if he were to say, She is not to be executed, going against the Jewish law. They would say he's not following the Jewish law. The Jewish law says that she needs to be executed. So if Jesus were to follow the Jewish law, he would be in trouble by the Romans and vice versa. So we see that Jesus is in this pickle here. Now, if it were you or me, we'd say something that would get us in trouble, wouldn't we? But Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, knew exactly what to say. He says, "He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone." And one by one, they began to leave. Jesus did not fall for the trap, which could have got him placed in prison. And one by one, they left. And it is within this context that Jesus makes this statement. Now, I want to read another verse quickly here in verse 20. John chapter 8, verse 20. "These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come." The Bible doesn't say things just to take up space. It says that he was in the treasury on purpose. And I want to tell you something about the treasury. And the treasury in the Jewish temple had 13 collection boxes. 7 were for temple taxes, and 6 was a freewill offering that anyone could make to the Lord. Now, there's something else very interesting I want to point out here. The treasury historically was filled with candles. All around the treasury were candles surrounding the entire room. Did you know that? And they brought this woman in there. All this happened. So I can imagine there was complete silence. And as Jesus Christ was standing in the middle of all these candles, and to the Jew, do you know what the candles represented? The pillar of fire that led the Jews through the wilderness. So to the Jews, these candles meant something. And in the middle of all of this, in the middle of the candles, everything was complete silence. Jesus lifted up his voice and said, "I am the light of the world." Wow. I am the light of the world. Now, to the Sadducees, the Pharisees that were there, oh, that made them mad within their hearts. And they said, "That's blasphemous. That's blasphemous." They knew that he was talking about the candles, the light. The same pillar of fire that led them through the wilderness is standing in front of them saying, "I am here. I am the light of the world. I am the same as God. We are one." And that made the Pharisees very angry. But to the Jews that were standing there, they began to think about this. Is this God in the flesh? Is this the God that led us through the wilderness, the God of our fathers? Is he here with us today? And to the Jews in the wilderness, the pillar represented three things. It represented protection, presence, and guidance. And those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. The light of the world being the protection, the presence, and the guidance. And to the Jews, that is immediately what they thought of in that context when he proclaimed he was the light of the world. So we see the history here. What's going on in verse 12? Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So we had the contrast there, this woman being taken in adultery, this evil act. It was pure darkness. The candles were there, and Jesus Christ proclaims, "I am the light of the world." First of all, I want to talk about the protection of the light. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. I want us to look at how they were led through the wilderness. Exodus chapter 13 in verse 21. Exodus 13, 21. "And the Lord went out before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way, and by night a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So here we see that the Lord is guiding his people through this presence of the light. And over in Exodus chapter 14, verse 19 and 20, we see that the Egyptians are coming to attack the Jews, to kill them. And it says here in verse 19, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud of darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night." So we see here that the Lord, this pillar of fire to the Israelis, it was darkness to the Egyptians, got right between the two armies, got right between the two camps, and it was protection for the Jews. So when Jesus Christ says, "I am the light of the world," the Jews are thinking, protection, protection. Is this man our Savior and our protection? And this day we need more than ever the protection of Jesus Christ in our lives. We live in a dark world, a very dark and dangerous world. And now more than ever we need the protection of the power of God in our lives. I believe that it's important to be in church. It's important to be a church member. You know why? Not only the Bible tells us we need to come together and gather, but for protection. There's a spiritual umbrella over those that are members, that those that are part of the church. There is protection which Christ Jesus gives. I have heard story after story of those that have left the church, that the church disciplined, and they refused to come back. And I've heard many stories that those that have turned their back on the church never to come back, within less than a year they were dead. There is protection within the church, and Jesus Christ brings that protection. In Nicaragua, when we began to build our first church, we work in a team, we call it Team Nicaragua. We were building our first church property, and then in Nicaragua, when you build a church, you need to put about a 6-foot wall up around the property, and on top of that, you have razor wire. So as we were building the church, we had these walls all around it. And you have to have a guard at the church 24/7. So throughout the week, every moment of every day, there is somebody at the church. Because if there's not somebody there, the church is going to get robbed, pretty much. And when they're building, especially, robbers want to come. They want to steal things. They want the drills. They want cement. Anything that they can rob. And we had two young men that were in the church that were there protecting the church. Mario and Ali. One was 19. The other one was 18 or 17, I believe, at the time. It had been several years. But one night as they were standing watch, as they were guarding the church properties, we had some light hooked up, but it didn't cover every corner. Some robbers dug under the corner of the church, and they came under the wall. And Ali, he has one eye. He lost his eye as a child. He was walking around looking to see if there was anything suspicious. And from behind him, a man walked up with a machete from the dark corner. And as he walked closer and closer, and right when he rose the machete up, his cousin Mario saw the man, and Mario with his machete jumped up and deflected his machete, and they were fighting back and forth in the darkness with this machete, and the robbers finally got tired of it, and he pulled a pistol out of his belt or wherever he had it, and he pointed at Mario, bam, right in the chest. He fell on the ground. The bullet went in him, and Mario was on the ground bleeding, and Ali, only 17, ran over to his cousin, very shaken. There was blood all over, and he pointed the gun at Ali, and Ali stood up. He took a few steps back, and he looked toward heaven with his arms stretched, and he said, "Jesus Christ, save me!" And the man with the gun said, "Shut up! I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear that name." And Ali once again said, "Jesus Christ, save me." And the man took a aim right at Ali. Bam! Bam! Two times. And the man ran away. He grabbed a drill and ran away. And after the man ran away, Ali was standing there feeling himself. Both of those bullets missed him. And if you go to the church today, you can see where it hit the wall. But he was so close to him. And Ali says to this day, God protected me. Jesus Christ saved me. And as far as Mario was concerned, the bullet missed his heart by inches. And it went through him. And it went out the back. And just within inches, he was saved. We need the protection of Jesus Christ in our life. And these are the type of things that we see go on the mission field. These sorts of things happen quite frequently. Just a few weeks ago, our good missionary friends were robbed at gunpoint. And they stole their van they were using to pick kids up for church. We need the protection of Jesus Christ in our life. Please pray for your missionaries. We need the prayer power here. We need the protection over there. And we know that God will protect us. He will bring safety and protection. But for us here in America, we need God's safety and protection. And we get that more and more with the closer we are to Jesus, the more safety and protection that we will have through Him. Now, I'm not saying life will be perfect, but it'll make things a lot easier when we're closer to God. Amen. Next, I want to make the point about the presence of the light. Let's turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. I've developed a good friendship with Ali, the young man that was shot. And he's going to have a baby. Well, his wife had a baby a week ago. And he asked me to be his godfather of the child. It's a great honor. It's a great honor and privilege to be accepted into the culture, to work hand in hand with the Nicaraguans in the work for the Lord. It was a privilege that he would ask that of my wife and I. I wish we were there to see the baby. We'll have time when we get back. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The same Jesus Christ which stood in the temple and said, I am the light of the world, was the same Jesus Christ, the same God that made the world. And the world is trying to reject him. That is why it is important that we have the presence of the light. This world needs to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. No matter what country you're in, no matter where we are at, we need to let the world know that Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the only one. Are we taking the presence of the light with us? Or as we learned in Sunday school as children, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Or are we hiding it under a bushel so that those around us don't see this light? What are we doing with the light? As a child, I used to be afraid of the dark. At times I still am, but that's another issue. And as a child, when I would wake up in the night, I was so scared. I was so scared there was a monster under my bed. And I didn't want to open my eyes. So what I would do is I would close my eyes and get out of bed. And I would walk over to the light with my eyes closed because I didn't want to see this monster that was under my bed. So I'd walk over to the light with my eyes closed and I'd turn the light on. And after I turned the light on, I would then open my eyes and get back in bed. But there's something about light that brings peace and comfort to us. And it's really the same way when we have Jesus Christ in our life. Do you know Jesus Christ? I certainly hope you do. Because you can have the presence of Jesus Christ in your life if you only call out to Him, call out to Him and receive Him. Now, we had not been in Nicaragua very long, I think less than a year. And there was a lady in our church whose uncle had a stroke. And he didn't know if he was going to live or not. And he said, I want to talk to a missionary. said, I want to talk to a missionary about Jesus Christ. And the lady in our church went and told us that this man that's close to death wants to talk to a missionary. And it's very hard to get in the hospitals in Nicaragua. There is only 1 hour that you can visit every day. And it's family only. And obviously we don't look like Nicaraguans. So the lady from our church went and she disappeared for about an hour. We were left standing on the street. And finally she said, I've talked with the guard. And finally he said that you guys can come in. So my wife and I entered this third world hospital. And we went through, passed through all the people. We got into the room. It literally made me sick to my stomach, the condition that these people are in. It's a small room. There's about 10 or 15 beds just lined up, one after another. It's 100 degrees in there. I don't recall if there was ventilation or not. You could just smell, a horrible smell. And these men were just suffering. Many of them were dying. If you see pictures of Jews that were held in the camps, concentration camps, that's what some of these people look like. The hospitals do not provide food. They do not change the bedding. They do not help the person at all. And there's 1 hour a day someone in the family can bring them some food and change their bedding, clean up after them, whatever needs to be done. And we hadn't been there very long, and we couldn't speak Spanish hardly at all. But we went over to the man, and my wife could speak better Spanish at the time. And we started to talk to him about Jesus Christ, and we brought a tract. And we asked him, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? And he could hardly speak. He was so weak from the stroke. And he nodded his head, yes, yes, I want to know Jesus Christ. So my wife took that tract, and she read through much of that and went to the part about calling upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. And she said, do you want to receive Christ? He said, yes. And I mustered up the courage in Spanish. There's about 15 people there laying. I said, if anybody here wants to receive Christ as your Savior, you can call upon Jesus now. We're going to go ahead and say a prayer. If you mean it in your heart and believe it and call out to God, you can be saved. And Ellie read through that tract with that man, and that man received Christ as his Savior. We don't know how many received Christ there, but praise God. We need to be the presence in this dark world, the presence of that gospel light. A few weeks later, Francisco, the man that received Christ, came wheeling. He came to the church in a wheelchair. And he came rolling in there and he stood up and he said, I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior. Boy, that's worth it all. It's worth it all going there when you hear things like that, when you see people receive the Lord. It makes it all worthwhile. It makes it all worthwhile. The presence of the light. Let's take it wherever we go. The third point is the guidance of the light. Psalm 119, 105 says, the word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We need to spend time with God so that He can guide us through this dark world. The thing, I know you've heard this about lamps, you can't see very far with a lamp. In Nicaragua, we lose power all the time, quite frequently. And at night, I have these lanterns I pull out and I light them up. And when I walk through the house with the lamp, I cannot see all the way down to the end of the hallway with my lamp. But I can see in front of me. I can see what steps I'm taking. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He leads us one step at a time. Just like the Jews followed this cloud, this pillar of fire through the wilderness, so must we follow Jesus Christ, our Savior. And if we follow this path that He has set before us, and if we follow that pillar of fire in our life, He will lead us, He will guide us, He will protect us. Did the Jews ever go away from that light? Did they ever say, oh, you know, God, I don't really feel like following you today. We're going to go this way. The pillar of fire can go that way, but we're going to go this way. Did they ever do that? No. That would be crazy. The light was protection. It was presence. It was their guidance. Then why so often, my friends, do Christians decide to go their own way when God is standing there saying, follow me this way, this way. Oh, God, you know what? That's okay. I want to go this way. The grass looks greener over here. And Jesus Christ will wait for us to come back, won't he? If you were to come to Nicaragua, how many of you want to visit me in Nicaragua? Anybody? Well, not too many takers. Okay, a couple. Let's say you were to come to Nicaragua and you got off the plane. I said, oh man, I'm so glad you've come to visit us. My wife has a meal prepared for you. We have a nice bed for you to stay in. Just get in my car and I'll take you. You're like, no, you know what? I want to try to get to your house on my own. I said, no, really. You really need to get in my car. You can't speak Spanish. You don't know your way around, and it's dangerous in certain parts of the city. Please get in my car. I want to take you. You need to stay in my house. It's dangerous. Oh, you know what, Brother Matt? I'm going to do it on my own. That would be crazy. Nobody here would do something like that. But so many times, Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, saying, follow me. Follow me. And we think, you know what? My way's better. And really, our way is never better. The way of Jesus Christ is always better. And we need to follow after his guidance. Just like the Jews did in the wilderness. Just as the Jews did, so must we follow Jesus Christ in our lives. I want to read one more verse and we'll conclude. Revelation chapter 21, verse 23. Revelation 21:23. I like this verse a lot. It's exciting to read. Revelation 21:23. I'll start in verse 22. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is the light of heaven, the light of New Jerusalem. Just as Jesus Christ stood in that temple in Jerusalem and said, I am the light of the world, he will be the light of New Jerusalem. He will be the light. There will be no need of lights or lamps or candles because Jesus Christ, the author of this world, the maker of this world, will be the light thereof. I can't wait for that day to come, can you? Amen. Amen. The light of the world, Jesus Christ. So the question I have for you this morning, what are we doing with the light of the world? Are we hiding it under the bushel for no one to see? Or are we letting our light shine? Are we letting the world see that Jesus Christ is the way? The light represented many things to the Jews, and it represents the same thing to us: protection, presence, and guidance. If we follow after him, we can't go wrong. It's my prayer that you will follow after him. If there's anyone that needs to know Jesus Christ, I pray that they will accept that light into their light life this morning. I'm so glad that you've had us come share about our ministry. I thank you so much for that. And if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'd love to show you how this morning. I'm going to have a word of prayer. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor. Father, we're grateful and thankful that you are the light of the world. In you, there is no darkness. Oh, Father, but so many times your children, your lambs, want to venture into that darkness. Bring us back, Lord. Bring us back, those that have drifted. And for us that are walking, help us to stay strong, serving you, following you, the light of protection. We ask it all in your name. Amen.